It's Must Know People. I'm John Ryan with you. And today got a special guest that was actually referred to me for season number one. And I chickened out. I didn't want to do the interview because honestly, I didn't know squat about what this guy's going to be talking about. His name is Jeremy DeMars. He is a champion drag racer from right here in Carroll and an owner of Napa here in town. Jeremy, thanks for doing this. I was intimidated to come interview you today.
No, absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity here.
I was nervous, I guess, because I didn't know much about drag racing.
Sure.
And I thought, this is the world that not a lot of people do know about. So right? It's weird that two people from Carroll are champion drag racers.
Right. Yeah. I mean, my dad, he essentially started, racing when he was real young, 16, 17, obviously doing it probably not so much legally on the streets, kind of grew up to be, a great mentor for me and taught me pretty much everything I know to this day, So it's a lot to learn and a lot to step into, but it's been really good for us.
Did you know anybody else that was into it, the level that you guys were?
I mean, over the years, traveling and going to different venues, you start acquiring friends and building relationships and stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot of people you learn and meet and you try to, obviously, like I said, my dad is still my number one mentor in all of it, but.
Mm-hmm. So was that the reason you got into it, just to spend time with your dad?
Essentially. Yeah. I mean, I did the sports deal for, when I was in middle school and stuff and ended up pretty much quitting all of that and focusing, on the racing side of stuff. And when I was 9 years old, my dad got a junior dragster for us. My brother and I, we both shared it, and which was a lot of fun, traveling with my parents and a family sport, right? And got to spend a lot of time with each other, and that's where it all pretty much started. And through high school, I played golf, and I still to this day enjoy golfing a lot with family, friends, and et cetera. Even when we're on the road racing, it's a good time, so.
Yeah, how much time does it take a week, this sport, this hobby?
It's nonstop. I mean, by the time, servicing rigs and even the race car, sometimes we joke, it's like that's the least amount of maintenance we have to worry about. It's everything else, from motorhomes and trailers and all the stuff to get ready and prepared to go it's a lot of work.
It's got to be. This is not something you go into lightly. I mean, it's an investment.
Right. I mean, and it doesn't happen overnight either. I've been doing this for 27 years and each year you try to better yourself, better the program, upgrade where you can affordably, I mean, obviously everything's very expensive and fortunate to have even some local sponsors that help out, throughout the year which means a lot to us, that these people, these business owners, they're supporting what we're doing. Right. So it's great for my dad and I, and obviously to represent those businesses of Carroll. So
that's interesting because this would be a whole lot easier if you lived somewhere else, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, the thing that's tough for us is just the traveling side. I mean, our closest racetrack that we actually, I would say, score points on or actually compete at that level would be probably Chicago. So, 6 hour tow, but we travel all the way, to Pomona, California, which is, 26 hours. So it's definitely a lot of time on the road.
No kidding. That's a lot of family time in those early days. So what was it? What hooked your dad on racing?
I mean, he was always kind of into the motorsports side of stuff and engines. And his grandfather actually was the one that kind of was into the motors, the motor side of stuff. And he learned a lot from him and through the years and went to a trade school for engine machining and engine building. And he moved to Carroll in 75 and worked for the Wilkins family here at the Napa store. And him and his partner at the time, Dale Quant, ended up, buying the business and taking it over from there. And he essentially grew an empire. We build engines for people all over the country and it's, obviously friends, family and the racing community, you know, is, it looks huge as a whole, but it's just a big family out there. So
75 is way pre Jeremy, right?
yeah, for sure.
So what's your earliest memory first of all, the store? Let's talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, I started coming out here tinkering around, I mean, in very early ages, you know, and, I would say I started tearing motors apart when I was 8, 9 years old, and kind of with the racing side, I started when I was 9 and just kind of invested at that point on, just kept growing and learning. And
what can a 9-year-old do in the racing business?
Yeah. And actually they changed that now. So you can start racing a junior dragster at 6 years old. So it's, you know, they're starting them young, but they, it's a whole different deal. You know, you go talk to these kids at the racetrack, I mean, it feels like you're talking to a 16-year-old, you know, they're just very knowledgeable and they understand the risk factor of that. And, they're just like adults, you know, at a very young age, learning to do the sport. So
seriously, what can a 9-year-old do though? What were you doing?
Like I said, I was, the boys even that currently work here, you know, they were helping me and educating me on things and more or less just tearing stuff apart, cleaning parts and nothing too techy, as you will, but, obviously the older I got and with great, like I said, mentors from my dad and Troy and Trevor Klein that have been a part of the family for forever, you know, and it's been a great deal for us. So
that all started, I mean, you're building engines for people all over the country. I mean, what were you doing that was so right about that, that you were in that kind of demand?
Well, you know, a lot of that too is, you know, like my dad, I mean, he had a lot of success racing, being out there. And that's a big part of our business too, is, you know, you're at the track supporting your customers. You know, if they need help or guidance, you know, you're out there to help them as well. So that's where a lot of the client base comes from too, you know, is being there to support them, you know, and if they have a question or concern, you're at the track ready to race right next side of them, you know? So
racing's got to take a lot of time away from the store too, doesn't it?
It does for sure. And like I said, the fact that we have great employees that help take care of that while we're gone. And like I said, they've been here longer than I have essentially, you know? So, the fact that they get it, you know, they know it takes a lot of time and effort and they race too. So they understand the being away and taking care of stuff while we're gone. So it helps out a lot.
What's your typical day like here at the store? Cause I mean, I'm sure you can't just work on your race car all day, even though you want to.
Right. For the most part, I mean, it's all customer based stuff. We do have times if we're pinched on, we got a race coming up and we got to have this, you know, XYZ done, you know, before we leave, that, you know, even the guys in the shop will help, you know, get everything put together and everything loaded up and ready for us to go. But I mean, the day to day, I mean, it just changes. That's the thing I like about, you know, this the most is, you know, one day you might be working on a big block Chevy and the next day you might be working on a straight six. It just depends on what the customer drags in the door.
Both of those went right over my head as far as the terminology goes. So, what do you like most? Do you like working on engines or do you like the racing part?
I would definitely probably say that's a tough one. Probably the racing side of it. Obviously the success comes with what's in the frame rails, you know, with the motor itself too, being reliable, being, you know, competitive where it's not broke down. Right. I mean, so yeah, that's a tough one, but I would say the racing is, an experience that not a lot of people get to get. It's a good time.
You know, you said you started out kind of traveling with your dad. It was a kind of a family deal going on. At what point did you start to break away and start racing on your own?
Really? That didn't even start until, I mean, I've went to races by myself, obviously with my, dad's setup, you know, his operation, he, allowed me to take and go, but he stayed back and worked, you know, if we had customer stuff that needed done and I was in a points chase or what have you. And he allowed me to give me that opportunity to go race, chase the points and have the success, which, you know, obviously I couldn't have done it without him. So.
Yeah. You're a champion racer, but you don't start that way.
No.
Talk about the beginning days of racing for you.
Oh man.
Where were you going? What was happening?
Yeah. I mean, even clear back to the junior dragster days. I mean, I think there was a season that I didn't even win a round. I mean, just you'd go and you'd get frustrated, depressed, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of things, terminology you could use, but,
all kinds of words.
Yeah. Yeah.
Colorful
right.
words.
Right. But, you know, you just keep digging. And, like I said, I've been at it for 27 years and I've raced every summer, and it takes a lot of work and patience. You know, I mean, things come around. It's just some years are tough, right? Mm-hmm. But that makes the good years shine too, you know? So like last year, you know, we had a lot of success, and it was fun to do it side by side with my dad, and, you know, with the success that he was having and I was having, we just had a really eventful year. It was fun.
Any races that stand out to you when you were younger that, like, they were maybe a linchpin, a turning point for your career?
Yeah. One of the first races I ever went to, the whole way up there, a little small track up northern Iowa, Humboldt. The whole way on our way up, my dad's like, you know, you got to learn how to lose. You got to learn how to lose. And, you know, you just can't get discouraged and this and that. And I go up there and I win the first race, right? Never sat in a car, never done anything. I'm like, I don't even know what the heck I'm doing, right? But just luck. I mean, that's all I can tell you. But I won my first race. So I'm like, all right, you know, this isn't so bad. And then, like I said, you know, the chain of events of then not even turning on a wind light. So it's definitely, you know, you got to accept the highs and with the lows, you know. So I was addicted after that. It was one of those things, you know, you have a little success and you're like, all right, I'm going to do this. And it's been a lot of fun.
Was that success followed by a lot of other successes, or was by a lot more failure?
So I had, I went some years that were, like I said, really good in the junior. And I was at a young age, I would say probably 14. I was ready. I was done with the junior dragster stuff. I was ready for a big car. You know, I wanted to race in Super Comp, which just a sportsman category. But anyway, I had my heart on that. That's what I wanted to do. And my dad helped me purchase my first Super Comp car. And, you know, within, I would say, a couple races, you know, we put it in the winner's circle and success just kind of started to follow into play, you know, with what, you know, I wanted to do essentially. But like I said, there's a lot of lows that go in between some of those victories mm-hmm. too, you know, so.
And a lot of money put into cars.
Yeah.
What is ballpark? How much does it take to put a competitive car together?
So just like last week, and I was talking with a buddy, just a family friend that I've raced with forever. And when I was at a local bracket race last weekend, and I was like, we bought a junior when I was racing, you know, for, you know, $6,500. And this kid that was over there, this little kid, his dad purchased one. It was 40 grand. So things have definitely changed. I'm thinking, holy moly, like there's just no way. Right. But yeah, I mean, a big car, I mean, it just depends on what level you want to race. I mean, there's guys that are spending $250,000 on a car, and there's guys that 100,000, you know, probably mm-hmm. cover it. Yep.
So I talked to Rusty Tigges.
Sure.
I said, Rusty, I need some information on Jeremy, man, if I'm going to do this interview.
Hopefully good.
Yeah, absolutely. Rusty said, I mean, it's a pretty minimal operation when you go to a race. It's you, maybe somebody else, but that's it
right.
a lot of times.
Right. I mean, even like last weekend, you know, I towed over there by myself and had a buddy that was, you know, willing to help me if I needed it, you know, basically more or less just load and unloading cars. But as far as the tuning goes and all of that nature, I pretty much just handle that on my own, you know, but that was all through the grapevines of learning and failure too, you know, of what to do and what not to do. So
how about the guys that are you're racing against? Is it more camaraderie, or is there rivalry going on there?
You know, for the most part, I mean, like I said, it's a big family, but there are some, certain individuals that you when you line up, you want to, you know, make stuff happen. So try not to tip your hand too bad. But yeah, I mean, there's, for the most part, it's a really good family sport. I mean, all around, I mean, good people, you know, when it's all said and done, I mean, everybody's grilling out and camping, essentially. It's just it's a good time. And like I said, a lot of support out there.
So it costs a lot of money, I'm sure, to keep the cars racing and things like that. What's prize money? What's that like in your world of drag racing?
You know, and that's changed a lot over the years. A lot of the sanctioning stuff that we go to, that's pretty much fixed. I mean, you pretty much average a win of anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000, somewhere in there. But like last weekend, I went to that bracket race, and they had Saturday was $21,000 to win, and Sunday was $21,000 to win. So there's different races you can go to and different purses that are available. It's just kind of what niche you want to go after. So,
and you're looking at that going, that's mine, or is it, you know, what's your mindset going into a race weekend?
You know, it's, you try to stay humble. I mean, there's so many good, you know, competitive racers out there that it's hard to say, yeah, I'm going to go win this deal. I mean, obviously in the back of your head, you always think that, but you know, high side, I mean, there's 300 plus racers that are trying to achieve the same goal that you are. You just try to be the best that you can and try not to get too discouraged when you're going up to the starting line.
Yeah, we talked a little bit before the podcast and you said, yeah, I mean, you could work your whole week trying to get your car ready and stuff and you get one shot.
Right, right. So, I mean,
so explain how all that works.
So they call it basically like time runs or time trials, however you want to kind of word qualifying as you will. But most races are, they might give you two hits at the track. So kind of gets you set up for the starting line, like seeing the tree and what the conditions are of the track. And it just depends on the day. I mean, if there's heavy winds out there, crosswind, tailwind, I mean, all that plays a factor too in what your car is running. But, and essentially it's just, you know, to try to get yourself in that rhythm, right? I mean, because most sim races take 7-8 rounds to win. So you got to be perfect 7-8 mm-hmm. times to be the top dog, you know? So
is it all weekend long? Is it a day? Is it that?
So there again, it just depends on the race, you know, most of our stuff, I mean, it's, they drag it out anymore, but I mean, typically we'll be on the road Wednesday and get to the track, get everything set up. They'll give us a couple qualifiers and then we'll have one round on Friday and two rounds on Saturday. I mean, so it's spread out, right? So to be on your game and ready to go, I mean, there's a lot of time in between rounds to stay focused. So
I'm assuming with your success that people know when you're showing up to a race, don't they?
Anymore. Yeah. I mean, which good or bad, I don't know, but, it's fun to race kind of out of our division, you know, out of the Midwest and go, you know, south or go out to, you know, Vegas and some of that, because I mean, they know you, but it's just, it's different people you're competing with too, you know? So it's not the same guys that you're seeing at the races every weekend. It's nice to change it up once in a while.
So tell me what a race is like. What is a drag race? Because I watched a couple on, I saw your dad on some videos on YouTube.
Sure, sure. Like I said, it gets really confusing in the sportsman categories. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, you roll up to the starting line and it's the first one to the finish line. You know, the guy with the fastest car wins. And that's how the pros, you know, that's how they still do it. But the sportsman stuff's not quite that way, because they knew that the guy with the deepest pockets is going to essentially win. Right. Mm-hmm. So they try to make it,
as in many things. Like,
yeah. Yeah. 100%. But, for the most part, it's, more diet, you know, there's a lot of math involved. And like for the category that I race in, it's a certain index that we're shooting for, elapsed time, as you will, in the quarter mile to as close to that as you can get. So there's timers and all kinds of stuff that we read and dial off of to get as close as you can. So that way it's really not who's the fastest, who's the slowest. You're still trying to achieve that index. So
okay. What's the car you drive?
So right now I'm actually partnered up with a customer of mine. I've been driving his Corvette for the last 4 years now, which is kind of a whole nother story, but it's been good. We've had
I think we might need to hear that story now.
we've had a couple of championships with it. You know, when I first got the car, it needed a little work, you know, some dialing, and we stayed on it, you know, between him, my dad and myself, we got things tuned in and ended up, like I said, falling with a championship. And
so there's nothing really, I mean, outstanding about, I mean, you guys soup it up as much as you possibly can, but it's
still a driver's game. Yeah. I mean, you gotta be 100% on the tree, you know, on the starting line, as far as concentration, because you're talking tenths of a thousandth of a second that you could win or lose by. So being as perfect as you can up front and, you know, dialing to have, you know, from the car being consistent, the end, I mean, there's just a lot of variables that go into being what you call perfect down the track.
What does a driver have to do to be successful? Take me through a race one time and how terrifying is it before all hell breaks loose?
Yeah, you know, and the experience goes a long ways. I mean, obviously when I was younger, you'd get, you know, the butterflies or the nerves, as you will, when you're rolling up for a final round or heck, even first round. But the more you get yourself or put yourself in that situation, the easier it becomes. But even like last fall, you know, chasing the world championship, and we get out to Vegas, and it's just it's a different feeling, you know, where you're essentially your own destiny. I mean, you got to try to do the best you can, and, you know, you still got to be proud of yourself for, you know, where you ended up regardless, you know, but it's being on the stage it's hard to explain.
What makes a good driver?
You know, practice. I mean, it's like anything, any sport, anything that you put your heart in. I mean, it's a lot of time and effort, and like I said, bloodshed and tears that go into this stuff. But, you know, there's people that go to drag racing schools and things like that, but I've never been to one of those. I've got some buddies that have, and there's certain things that you can't teach. You got to put yourself in that situation and put yourself in that atmosphere, I guess, to understand what it takes. I mean, strapping the helmet on, you know, it's 100 degrees outside and you're sweating, the sweat's running down your face, and you're trying to stare at a bulb that, you know, you're trying to be perfect on, essentially. And then when you cut it loose, you know, and you're going that speed, and they're again trying to focus on where you're at and what's going on. There's just a lot to it.
How fast do you get up to almost 200 miles per hour?
Yeah, I mean, like, heck, even in my dad's category anymore, those guys are, you know, low 6 seconds at 220 in the quarter mile. And which is, you know, you got to be paying attention to what's going on. I mean, a lot of things can happen real fast. My dad was in an incident several years ago where the competitor next to him actually blew up and crossed in front of him. And, you know, my dad had nowhere to go, and it's not like you're going to swerve, you know, it's not like, oh shoot, what do we do now? You know, but, fortunate, you know, with the safety equipment and all the things, you know, having good cars and good equipment, you know, he essentially walked away. No issues, no problems other than a wrecked car, but,
yeah, no insurance, by the way, on this stuff, I'm assuming, right?
Well, they actually, there is an insurance you can do. Is now. There? Yeah, of course.
I don't want to see have the deductible on that, by the way.
It's pretty stout, but anymore, it's worth it, so.
How physically demanding is driving?
Oh.
Is the mechanic stuff more physically demanding or the driving?
I would say the driving. I mean, the mechanic side is there, but we try to prep the best we can before we even roll out the door. I mean, it's not like I'm going to drive halfway across the country and I'm like, man, I just don't feel good about this thing even starting. I mean, that's just not how we operate. But to be, like I said, to put yourself in a championship level, being as prepared is the whole goal. I mean, and I got taught that at a very young age. You know, there's no sense even hooking the trailer up if you don't feel like you can go win. So, you know, that's kind of our look on things and how we, you know, represent ourselves even at the track with our customers and all of that. You know, we show up to be successful the best that, you know, we can be. So
any superstition going into these things? I'm sure you've got some people that have superstitions.
Oh, like, yeah.
You might chuckle at them and go, they got to do this before a race or something.
Right. And I don't know. It's funny, you know, you watch some drivers and some, you know, do the same thing. And I'm sure I do too. I don't even think about it. You know, it's just a routine of, you know, you might put your left glove on first every time versus your right. I don't know, but it's just I couldn't even tell you that, I guess. I just have my own little procedure that I do before each race and seems to be working for the most part. So I don't want to change anything.
It's got to be scary, though, when you stop and think about it. You've had to be in some serious situations.
Yeah. And
got an example of that, maybe?
I was actually in Denver one year racing, and obviously with weather changes out there, I mean, it could sunny 1 minute and 5 minutes later it's downpouring, and exactly that's what happened. I was going down the track and got to the finish line, and it cut loose rain, and you know, you're going 180 mile an hour and you're trying to stop a car on basically a sheet of ice was an experience, but luckily everything worked out like it was supposed to. But things can happen, and like I said, they happen really fast, and you just try to be the most prepared that you can for anything that could, you know, come your way.
God forbid any injuries. Has that ever happened to you?
No, we've, like I said, knock on wood, we've been, even with my dad's incident and, you know, he's raced, like I said, his whole life. And that was his only, accident that he had along the way. And, I haven't had any issues as far as that goes. Obviously had some, mechanical failures, and you're going to have that, you know, parts failures happen, and which they change some stuff. They always try to make it better safety wise. A lot of us have to run a containment device underneath the engine, and some of them have to run underneath the transmission, but basically it's a blanket that, so if something fails or blows up, that it doesn't get that fluid underneath the tires that make it where potentially you can crash or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of safety stuff that goes into it too, which is beneficial.
Last year we said you won the championship. Explain the championship to us, because it's a little different in drag racing than it is like in a normal
right situation. So we basically contest, we have 7 divisions throughout the United States. The Midwest basically is Division 5, and they kind of spread it out where that way you don't have to travel as far if you just want to race your division stuff, as you will. But you basically race 8 races. They take your best 5, is kind of how your scorecard works. But if you're racing on the national level, you can pick 6 national events you can go to, and they take your best 3. So overall, a national championship, you have 8 races that they look at points-wise, and that's kind of how you're ranked. So last year, I won the division championship by quite a few points, and that's kind of where it put me like, well, I could do a few of these nationals and kind of see where it shakes out. And I went to Dallas and ended up winning the division race down there, and which put me tied for the lead in the world. So then we're starting to think, okay, now where are we going to go? But my dad actually, he's like, well, we just got to go to Vegas. So we threw my car in his rig, and he hauled me out there, and we had a really good time. My brother ended up flying in, and we got to, you know, the boys got to hang out and have a little fun in Vegas. And we ended up finishing 4th overall in the world. So it was a good tail end to it. So
could you imagine when you started racing junior drag racing that you'd reach this kind of height?
You know, it's always a goal. Even at a young age, I wanted to be a world champion. You know, that's still the goal. You know, I finished when I was running a different class. I finished top 10 in the world 3 times in that. Till I switched categories, I was, you know, 2-time division champion. But like I said, I mean, it gets so techy at the end of the year and chasing points, and there's just a lot to it to be the world champ, right?
Yeah.
So that's still a goal. It's still a goal.
It's probably just the slightest difference in the car, in luck, and strategy.
Luck is so much anymore. I mean, there's just so many good racers, and to be, you know, that good all year with, you know, minimal flaws is tough. I mean, a lot of moving components in a car for one, and then mentally to be focused through, you know, an entire year to win the championship.
So you said you guys haven't really started racing this year yet.
No, we've been out a few times. I went to St. Louis, which that was a rain out essentially. And my dad hasn't been out yet. We're working on getting his deal wrapped up, but we're going to head up north to Brainerd. Will be our first. They actually have a double divisional up there followed by a national event. So we'll get 3 races up there, and then we're going to hit it pretty hard here toward the fall.
How long is the racing season?
So typically, like, the pros start, I think they start in March, and it'll run all the way to November. So, I mean, it's a full, full year of racing, but we typically don't start until, you know, May, June, just getting our customers out and get our clients out, you know, to get them out racing too. I like to make sure they're taken care of before we get out and go race and play too. So
how about sponsorship? Do you guys get a lot of that?
Anymore, it's minimal. People just don't want to give that up. I mean, sponsors are tough anyway to get. I got a few that, like I said, I got a few local ones that have always been really good. And, I got one corporate one that I've been dealing with for the last 4 years. You know, it's a trailer company out of Florida, Wright Trailers, and even Mickey Thompson Tires. You know, they help us with tires and stuff throughout the year. And it's kind of nice with this business too. You know, I got some great relationships with even fuel, you know, racing fuels. So Fuel Factory helps us out, and it's every little bit helps. You know, I mean, it's just one of those sports that, you know, if you can get $10, you feel like you won something, you know. So it's good.
Would you ever drop the store to go racing full time?
Is that a
possibility?
I mean, I don't think I'd ever do that. Just, I have a lot of love into this place, you know, and obviously my dad, you know, he built all this up, and I want to, you know, try to move that to the next chapter too, what we can grow with it. And he says he's retired, but he still comes in and does his deal too. So it's nice to have him around every day and kind of help us with, you know, he's got that experience, you know, so we could always use a little of that. So
around the Thanksgiving table, you guys talking racing all the time?
Pretty much. Yeah. My mom kind of gets sick of that once in a while, I think, but, the family gets it, you know, they've known we've done this our whole life and that's just kind of what we do. So they support it.
Who is in the family, by the way? We should recognize your dad, Larry. We talked about him.
Yep. My mom, Cindy, she's always supported everything we've ever done, you know, keeps the home front good when we're gone. And, you know, for the long time, she never went, you know, it was just dad and I. And, you know, my brother would come when he could, but he moved out to Denver in 2007 and, essentially been there ever since. So he tries to make the races when he can, and he's a big supporter, even when he's not there, you know, getting text messages and whatnot and you know, giving us encouragement. We could always use that. Right. So he's always been good, but you know, they always support us. You know, dad and I are thankful for that. And that, definitely means a lot. Even our employees, you know, they've taken care of the reins when we're gone. And I mean, like I said before, they're essentially family, you know, so they make it happen.
Talk about Carol a little bit. How does that work into the equation? I mean, you said you don't want to leave Carol or anything like that. So what does Carol mean to you?
You know, I'm born and raised here. It's, you know, it's a great community, and, you know, even being on the Carol Fire Department with great guys out there, and, you know, they give me some crap once in a while, obviously, with me being gone a lot, but they still support, you know, they understand and respect what I do. And when I am around, I try to help out the best I can. But like I said, I mean, just trying to give back where I can to the community with being on there. And it's great. You know, I love even the small town stuff, you know, the business, you know, if you have any questions or concerns, you got a buddy you can call that's typically in that industry or market or whatever that can guide you in the right direction without being scammed. Right. So it's kind of nice. And you just can't get that anywhere else.
So you're in a race car. That's kind of scary. You're a volunteer fire department. I'm sure there's been some scary moments there. Which one's more scary?
Oh, I don't know. The fire department, you know, there again, it's training. You know, you can't just step into that deal and think you're going to be a, you know, professional at it. I mean, it takes a lot of training, and that's why we train every Monday, you know, typically throughout the year. And the drills are great, and they help you to keep us safe, you know. So without our training committee and the great guys at the department, you know, to put us in, you know, scenarios that could happen. So it's good.
Anything that makes you nervous when you get into the race car?
Not really. I mean, like I said, I'd
be terrified. Nobody really realizes how fast, like almost 200 miles an hour is.
You know, and I always say it's not really the speed. That's the best part, but it's when you got to stop. I mean, that's when you know how fast you're going. When the parachutes come out and they throw you forward, you're like, oh, okay, I was moving a little bit there, you know. But no, I mean, I enjoy it so much that it's just, it's an adrenaline deal, you know, just like on the fire side. I mean, there's nothing like, which I hate to even say, but you know, a structure fire, you know, I mean, it gets your blood flowing and going in and doing stuff. It's just a adrenaline type junkie, I guess. But
you see any point in the future that you're going to stop racing?
Not at this point. I just got to keep working, I guess, because it's not getting any cheaper. But
say you win the world championship, you gonna hang it up then?
I might just change it up. You know, I mean, I don't know if I'd race as hard. I mean, I don't think I could ever give up racing, but it just gets stressful. I mean, being on the road, being gone. I mean, obviously, hard on relationships, all kinds of stuff. You know, I mean, you just get and you're alone a lot. You know, so I mean, it's tough. So I would probably woe back a little bit and kind of enjoy life around here a little bit too. So,
I mean, when you go from 0 to 200 miles an hour, that's adrenaline. I can't even imagine. Would any other racing kind of satisfy that for you?
Yeah. I mean, the guys that work in the shop here, they got dirt cars and stuff. And that's always kind of been an interest to try sometime just to see what it's like, you know? And we build a lot of figure eight stuff, and that's kind of a different style. I mean, I don't know if I could get involved with that, but it's one of those deals that comes down to competition too. I mean, the competition is what kind of drives you in some of that, you know, from weekend to weekend. And there again, having a little success goes a long ways too. So, but, I mean, motorsports all around, I enjoy, but, drag racing is kind of where my heart's at.
Last question I got for you really is about your dad. Talk about him and his influence in your life. Cause, none of this would have happened to you unless your dad was into it. Right.
Right. Right. And like I said, at a young age, my dad worked all the time. I mean, that's his whole goal, you know, was, you know, obviously to support and take care of us as kids. And, he worked his fingers to the bones, man. I mean, he grew this empire. And, you know, when I was, like I said, in like eighth grade, I think it was, I said, you know what, I'm not going to do any of these sports. I'm going to race and I'm going to be side by side with him. We pretty much stuck it out ever since, you know, and like I said, he's still here and, you know, we took ownership, in 21, Mike Tegas and I, and, it's been a great, great journey. You know, Mike's a great business partner. He does a lot and supports the racing as well. You know, he, takes care of the reins when I'm gone and never discourages the fact that we're on the road. He supports it 100%. And that means a lot to me, obviously, but like on my dad's side, you know, even the college side, I'm like, I don't think I need to go to school. You know, I'm just going to, you know, just work here. He's like, nope, you need to go to school. So I ended up going to an engine program up in northern Minnesota. And
as you're fired.
yeah, as the pager's going off. But I went up there for, it was supposed to be a 2-year program. And early on in the few weeks of being there, my instructor and I really didn't see eye to eye. So he essentially gave me a test. He goes, pass this and do the hands-on part. We'll just put you in all the second year program. We'll get you out of here. So I did all that. Things went smooth and, got all my certifications and stuff and then end up, moving back and he kind of helped me all the way, you know, to where we're at now, you know, and I can't say, you know, I couldn't do it without him. And there's still a lot of things that he does around here that, you know, eventually I'll have to step into the roles of, but he's still, you know, building motors and making power and he still to this day loves it. And I do too. And that's what, works for us. And like I said, we got great guys that help us through all that process, which couldn't do it without them either. I mean, there's a lot to building an engine that a lot of people don't realize. And, it takes a lot of perfection and, you only get one shot at it. So, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, next time you walk into Napa, I know that they got a championship level racing operation going on here in the back.
Right. Right. Like I said, it's been great. And even the guys, you know, that dirt track race, they've had a lot of success and, you know, so all around all forms of racing and it doesn't even have to be racing. I mean, we work on a lot of day-to-day drivers too, you know, so whatever's broke down, you know, we'll take care of it any way we can.
Well, I'll be darned. Mike Franey was right. I should have talked to you long before this. Jeremy DeMars, thanks, man, for doing this. I appreciate it. Making time for this interview.
Nope. I appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Yeah, must know people right here in Carroll. It is Jeremy DeMars.